Tech Talk underway on a Saturday in October, and here's the deal. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program or text the program. Here is the number on the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Doug Swinhart is in. Doug, good to visit with you. I hope you had a good week.
Well, it's been busy, but good nonetheless. We like it. We're just hoping that people are doing their backups because I had another computer come in that we couldn't get the data. Got to talk about that again, Steve.
Yeah, and this is just one of those things that we have talked about literally for years on the program about having backup. And it is getting cooler, and it's easier to spend more time. You're not drawn outside, and the chore is outside. But this is absolutely mandatory. It's like, you know, you generally wouldn't put all your money in a bag under the mattress. That you put it somewhere for safekeeping, typically a bank. You keep your money in the bank. With your data, you don't want to, so to speak, put all your money in a sack and put it under the mattress.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, you gotta have backups, and generally one's not even enough.
No, it really isn't. And the thing is, the analogy you used about the bank, I relate that to Google Drive, iCloud, any type of cloud storage. If you happen to have a backup, there's a company in California called iDrive that people relate to being Mac, but it's all computers, Linux, Windows, Macs. And iDrive has just practically given away this backup service, and it works perfect. Yeah, having it off-site. It really is. It's like storing your money in a bank. And we should also mention, too, that this isn't just important for your computer. We should be thinking about this for the data on our smartphones as well. If you've got a large storage, smartphones today, it's very common. They'll have 256 gig, 512, a terabyte, a little card. And they'll have data on there. And if something happens to that, that's actually more difficult to retrieve than on a PC. Which you can set it up the same way. Save it up in the cloud. Cloud is really, I think, the answer to making certain that your important data is saved. I like your email thing, too. That's just a wonderful solution. Whatever you do, make sure you have at least three copies. One that you're working, one local backup, and one off-site backup. And I think you're good to go.
Yeah, and there are a number of paid services. We've talked about those, and the fact that, you know, the paid services are good. They do automatic backups, maybe while you're sleeping. The simple fact of the matter is, whatever you do, back that up. You know, Doug can fix hardware. Doug can reinstall, and other techs can reinstall operating systems and apps and all those sorts of things. You cannot recreate documents and photos. We can't say it enough. Now, generally, if you have a phone, whether it's an iPhone or some sort of Android operating system, they typically will have some sort of cloud backup built in, but you got to set it up. You got to take advantage of it. And if you've got a lot of stuff, you might be charged a few bucks a month to store that material. But the fact of the matter is to have all your eggs in one basket or every nickel to your name in a sack under the mattress makes absolutely no sense. And that's why we recommend having a backup plan. And if people haven't heard my email strategy, I'm sure I didn't invent this, but it's something that I do. If I have something really important, I have two private email accounts, a Yahoo account that I've had for years, and a Gmail account. Those are my private emails. That's where I correspond and hear from the bank, hear from family members, friends, etc. It is not work-related to my work here on the radio or my work during the week in the printing business. I have separate email accounts for work stuff. But for my private stuff, what I typically do, if I have a photo or a document or something that I absolutely positively want to hang on to, I simply attach it, for instance, in my Yahoo account and email it over to my Gmail account. Then there's two copies right there, one at the Yahoo, one at the Gmail. I don't do it for everything. It's not necessary. But the really important stuff that I want to have long term, that's what I do.
There it is. You know, the thing that really intrigues me about this is the reason that a lot of people just delay or put off or procrastinate doing their backups is it can be time-consuming. But you are in this human habit where if it's important, bang, bang, bang. And I will bet you a dollar to a donut that it has gotten so natural that you barely even think about it, have it done in seconds, and move on with your busy day. I bet money.
Well, and I did it the other day because I do a little work on cable TV, and someone did a really cool promo for Andover Boys and Girls Hockey. And I saw this, and it had a little bit of audio with my voice on it. I thought it was cool, and I wanted to save it. So as all I did, I got the email, and I just quickly emailed it to my other email account. So either way, I'm covered, and I have that. Now, what I'm going to do with it, I have no idea. Maybe someday play it for my grandchildren. I don't know. But it has become a habit, and I think it's really, really paid dividends. So that is one strategy. There are plenty of others that we've talked about. But Doug ran into another person that's kind of like out of luck. Everything was on that hard drive. Don't make that mistake. Make sure you've got a backup plan for that valuable data. If we come out of this show with one thing today, it certainly should be that. Doug, let's do another quick update because so many are impacted on Windows 11 coming online and whether or not people should upgrade. What are the do's and don'ts when it comes to Windows 11? And if they're running some sort of other Windows operating system on their machine?
Yeah, the big thing is just to make certain that the hardware you're running is going to be compatible, or learn about the workarounds before you install. And Microsoft has like this little tool to check to see if your system is ready, but it really, sometimes it misses stuff. People are still having trouble with updated printers. They can lose those and have to reinstall. And Windows is getting a lot of flack for this, and they are actually starting to come up with a process where people who have that trouble can go right straight to the Windows update and download their specific driver. It's supposed to fix it. Haven't got enough history yet so I can comment, but they're making the steps. They're at least getting on board and saying, yep, we went too far with this. And again, they're changing their strategy with Windows 12, which is expected to come out in 2024, and they're going back to the three-year version. I don't really know what the idea is, but I think sometimes that this changing of plans really is kind of difficult for folks. I know that they want to stay up with the latest hardware and pushing trusted platform and Intel management and things like that. I just don't know if that's such a good idea. I am still old school, Steve, as you know. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. And if you're going to be looking at a different operating system, check out the new Macs. Check out there's a plethora of Linux distributions. I think it's a good idea to expand your horizons and play around. Not on a production machine, of course. If you're working on a machine that's your work, that one's got to stay stable. But the most important thing with a computer, in my opinion, is stability. You got to be able to trust that machine. Once you got a trustworthy machine, I hate it when changes take place. Just leave it alone. As long as it's secure and uptight, just rock and roll.
Yeah, Doug, the old saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And nothing could be truer when it comes to computers. The latest and the greatest. If you're operating just fine and doing everything you need to do, there's no reason to go in another direction. That is for sure. All right, we want to get a call in right out of the gate here on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Tom, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hi, I got a question. I have a laptop from Micro Center that's running Windows 10 21H1, and from what I can see, the end of life is December of this year for that. But when I check my updates, even saying check for optional updates, I don't see the 21H2 update from Microsoft being displayed as something I can do. I'm wondering how can I get around that.
I don't know if I would say download it manually or not. I generally will set up computers, and I use a Windows utility from a gentleman named Chris Titus, which you can download from his website, and this will actually give you more control over your updates. And I will generally set them up so you're getting security updates, but avoiding some of the feature updates. And it's these feature updates that I think are creating more havoc for users. And a lot of times they're features that users will never touch, never use. So I don't know if I'd be too worried that the update isn't there. I think they're having trouble keeping up with all of the people with their servers, and that's probably the case. But if you're running and you're not getting any errors, I don't think I'd be too in a rush to push this thing. You know, we always want to be on the cutting edge, but we really don't want to be on the bleeding edge. I kind of like to let other people do the beta testing, and once I see what's going on, I can look at my machine and check to see if I've got any of those same hardware drivers or things like that nature, and if it's necessary, then update. But I don't think you should worry about that at all. And thank you so much for the call. I hope that helps.
All right, quick break. We are underway on Tech Talk with Doug. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program or text the program. It is the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text line at 651-461-9226. Now it's a great time to get in. We always get a ton at the end of the program and can't squeeze all those in. So call or text now and be sure to get on the air with Doug. It is 2:18. Bad news from Illinois. The Illinois Fighting Illini beat the Minnesota Golden Gophers today in Big Ten football, 26-14. Even worse for the Golden Gophers. Quarterback Tanner Morgan left the game with an injury. Tech Talk resumes in a moment. Tech Talk underway on a Saturday. Here's the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. If you want to talk to Doug about your computer issue here at News Talk, E3OWCCO. Doug, older machines, an upgrade to a solid-state drive is something you've talked about. In a laptop, is it a do-it-yourself item?
Oh, I think it definitely is today. Nearly all of the 2.5-inch drive SSDs and the new technology, the NVMe, the M.2s, they will have a link where you can actually download mirror software that's exclusively for that drive. And if you buy a little small little adapter for your old hard drive, when you're done, you'll put it into a case. Use that for the new drive first and just mirror it. Then you can put the new drive in, and you can either add an operating system or just tweak this one. You're going to notice a tremendous difference. And by the way, Steve, that automatically gives them a built-in backup because they've got their original drive. Now they've got their updated drive. It really is a no-brainer, especially with laptops. Solid-state drives take a fraction of the power, so you'll see some extended runtime. But as you know, most of your power is going to the display. And, of course, they create little to no heat whatsoever. So with a laptop especially, it's just an absolute no-brainer to update these things. And today, you can buy them. They're not expensive. It really is, just makes the most sense to extend the life of your computer and give yourself a little experience in the process of going through this. It really is a good thing. I encourage everybody to do it.
Yeah, and Doug, what about taking the computer apart? What are some do's and don'ts if you're going to take that laptop apart, that older laptop, and make the switch?
Well, I think before you start, go to your manufacturer online and see if you can get a service manual. That's huge. Most of them will supply them. Sometimes they're difficult to find. If you don't understand the service manual 100%, run a Google search. I'll bet money you're going to find probably tens, hundreds of YouTubes that will explain it step by step. Get your mind right before you begin. When you got everything in place and you got the tools that are necessary, which aren't expensive even if you had to buy them, and you got everything in place, once you start to work and you start to put things back together, do not over-tighten. Just be gentle. Everything is gentle. Never force, and especially with the laptops. Taking them apart, some of the newer ones can be a little bit daunting. Take your time. Once you get them apart, and they're just really, it's a pretty simple process, really is. Big thing is, that service manual is huge. Dell gives them away for almost every model. HP, you can get them almost every model. And even when you can't find them, hit YouTube. You're going to find somebody that speaks well, that is direct. And if the first one doesn't suit your fancy, get another one. Plenty of people are putting information up on the net, and it is very helpful. So, and don't forget, ifixit.com, ifixit.com. Love that website. One of my favorites. That's got a whole tons and tons of machines and how to upgrade and how to fix and repair. It's a great source.
Tech Talk continues with Doug Swindhart here at News Talk, 830 WCCO. And from the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, we got a good one here. We've talked about this a ton. Can you talk about the advantages, disadvantages to a Chromebook and what brand you would recommend? We have talked about this a lot over the years as well. What should you be looking for in a Chromebook, Doug?
Oh, I just love Chromebooks. If you're, especially if you're just surfing the net and normal casual users, brand, I'm kind of impartial to HP. You can always buy one right straight from Google. Nearly every manufacturer is putting out a line of Chromebooks. I know Lenovo has a series of them. Acer makes dynamite Chromebooks. I'd put them right up next to HP's. The ones that you purchase from Google are going to be a little bit more expensive, but they're a lot more computer. And they all come with that huge Google account, and they save up in the cloud. Probably the major advantage is you never have to worry about security. There's no antivirus, no malware. You never, ever have to worry about it being up to date. As soon as you turn it on, it's updated. And it's just invisible. It really is a nice, nice solution. And depending upon how much you want to work with your Chromebook, if you want to expand into the Linux world and whatnot, you might want to consider something with a little bit more storage locally. But there, you just can't lose with these things. You just can't. Pick up a Chromebook for $200-$300, you're going to think that you own the world. I think everybody should own one, even if you got a desktop or another laptop. They're wonderful to travel with. You know, a 12, 13-inch computer that's nice and light, and you can just a wonderful piece of equipment.
Tech Talk continues. Doug Swindhart joining us. Doug, here's one from our text line today. You always say reload the operating system. What do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes an operating system can become corrupt, and you actually have to reinstall it on the hard drive. And this is where I think a solid-state drive, or if you're going to update, this is the time. That way you can have all your files intact, and you get an ISO, and it's a .iso file, and you can actually create your own media on a DVD or a USB drive, and you put it in the drive, and you boot from that. Sometimes people have trouble with this too, but all that information is on the net on how to set up your BIOS so it boots to a USB or a DVD. Once you boot, just follow the instructions and install it. And that's going to be true with Windows or Linux, both of them the same. It's just step by step, pay attention. And if you got a secondary computer and you see a question that doesn't make any sense, just put it on pause, go over to the other computer and run a search. Like I say, this is a wonderful learning experience. I would recommend it to anybody. But reinstalling the operating system from time to time, you're going to end up with a fresh install. That's the best you're ever going to see Windows run, guaranteed. And then you can really take the opportunity to say, well, what do I want for software? And put in the exact software. No more extra garbage, no more nothing. And it's a great experience. I think every computer user, I couldn't encourage more to do that. And I hope that helps.
All right. And, oh, by the way, we have John on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line from St. Louis Park. John, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. Thanks for taking my call, but I know we're not supposed to say that here. I'm trying to download. It's called Garmin Express. And also, I've tried to download an Epson Event Manager so I can scan with my printer. So this is what it always pops up. You go through a couple of steps. I'm doing it right now. Open Garmin Express. So I read the instructions and install. Okay. So yes, and give me 2, 10, 5, 4, 3. 2, 1,
all right.
Installer has insufficient privileges to access this directory, manual programs, Garmin. The installation cannot continue. Log in as an administrator or contact your system administrator.
All right, we gotta go to a break, John. We're going to put you on hold. Doug, you got a quick answer for him before the break?
Yes, that install file. Put your pointer on top of that. Instead of doing a double left click, right click, slide down, and left click, run as an administrator. And if you have problems after that, give me a call.
All right, very good. That can be tricky sometimes, getting that to work, but we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. We will come back. We'll come back, talk about good old Windows 7 when the show returns. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart in. My name is Steve Thompson. Our producer is Kerry Klatt, and our number on the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226, and we'll do the weather in a moment.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tech Talk continues with Doug here at News Talk, A3LWCCO. And by the way, if you want to join the program, do it on the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 is the phone number on the program. Here's a good one, and we touched on a little bit earlier about upgrades to Windows 11. But from our text line, I have a desktop with Windows 7. Can I buy Windows 11 and just install it?
If your computer is capable, but I doubt it. That one's going to take a little bit of work. If you wanted to go with 11, I'd say start with 10. And you can download that as an ISO. And here again, I'd start with a fresh drive so you have all of your data intact and everything's safe. It really depends on the hardware. It's just too difficult to question and answer without knowing what type of hardware we got, Steve.
Yeah, and that is a big key. Once again, if you have Windows 7 and it's running, I know there's a lot of concern about 7 and 8 and end of life and security, et cetera. Doug, what advice do you have for people who are maybe still running 7 or 8?
Well, the thing is you can run Windows 7, but you don't want to be the administrator. You have to create a separate profile as a limited user, and then you're going to be pretty much okay. There's other things that you can do to make yourself not so visible on the internet. Shut off file sharing and print sharing. But now you've got a machine that you're not going to be able to share in the house either. There's some limitations. But yes, you can do that. I would think that you'd probably be better off with Windows 7 than Windows 8. Windows 8 is coming to end of life, and Microsoft wants them to go away. You can just tell. And in fact, they don't want to hear about Windows 7 anymore either. But nonetheless, still going to be around for a little bit. You're okay if you really got to pay attention what websites you go to, what kind of files you're opening. You can't just go anywhere you want and expect everything to be okay. It's kind of a target at this point, and it's going to remain that way. But there's ways you could run Windows 7, create your machine as a Linux machine, and install VirtualBox, and then install Windows 7 inside of Linux. That is probably your best way to run Windows 7, or go back as far as you want, run DOS that way. It's much safer than just on a bare metal machine. And I hope that helps.
All right. Once again, Doug joining us here on Tech Talk, News Talk, A3LWCCO. I just purchased a MacBook Air. What do you recommend for installing Microsoft Office on that machine?
Well, from my point of view, I'd forget about that and just download Libre Office Suite. You have all the advantages of Office, and it's just going to be a much, much cleaner, much easier to operate, and you're not going to have to worry about the ongoing updates from Microsoft. And you can get it to run. There is a specialized package. Some people have great luck with it, but I think there's going to be more trouble than just getting an open-source Office Suite. And remember now, with Libre, we can open, edit, and save any Microsoft Office file, Excel, Word, you name it. It's just the way to go. And in fact, even if you need Office for work, I would recommend that you get Libre and install it side by side, just in case you have some type of problems opening files from other users with different versions. Libre will open it. Then you can save it in your version. It just makes sense. So check that out. LibreOffice.org, O-R-G.
All right, very good. And that is a program that's been recommended for a long, long time, and it is a good one. I mean, it is tried and true.
You bet. Absolutely. I think almost every distribution of Linux has this as the base Office system, but there's some others as well. But Libre really has set the tone and the trend, and it's just so nice. It's lovely to work with, and it has all kinds of advantages.
Let's jump back to the phone lines, the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Our number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Marcy in Eden Prairie, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, I just love your radio show. My question is...
thank you so much.
When in Google and opening up tabs for doing research, you know, in one tab you click open this link in another tab, I constantly get the out-of-memory message. What causes that, and what can I do about it?
You really want to search and find your virtual memory. Well, you could actually add more RAM, which would be the first go-to. But you could also increase your virtual memory. And you're going to find that in Windows 10, it's kind of difficult to find. If you have trouble with that, give me a call, and we'll connect up remotely. I'll have it done for you in minutes. Depending upon how much memory you got in your computer, and it could be, too, just a quick cleanup of your computer would help. If you're running Windows 10, get Privazer, PRIVAZER.com. It's open source. And clean your Windows and see if that helps first. And check around with some other browsers. If you don't have the Brave browser, download that. But the big thing I think that you got going on with Chrome or Chromium is probably your cache and your temp files are building up. And once you run Privazer, that'll clear all that up. And if not, then you got to increase your virtual memory. They actually use hard drive space as RAM, and that will clear that up as well. Not a big problem, and thank you so much for the call.
All right, very good. Great call. Thanks for that. And we still have time here on the program. 651-461-9226. That gets you through on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Texts come right into the studio. And then beyond that, calls, you'll visit with Carrie Klatt in the studio, who will put you through to Doug and yours truly. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back with a whole lot more here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Still plenty of time to join the program on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. From our text line, I have an Apple Watch, but it's only showing the Apple symbol. I tried a soft reset, and it didn't work. What could be going on? I don't have one. I never have, but my wife has had a couple. She loves it. And they've been pretty trouble-free.
You just don't get a chance to do too much with these things. My wife's got one as well, and she wouldn't be without it. It connects with her iPhone, and I watch her use it, and she's starting to get me convinced that maybe I should be looking at an iPhone next. But this is the first I've ever heard anybody having a problem with it. I'd contact Apple and go from there. They're your go-to for any of the obscure equipment.
Yeah, you know, and Doug, for equipment like that, the smaller equipment, it's not as simple. I know there's things we've talked about with simply laptops and desktops, when you're having a trouble. There's always a, you know, when in doubt, reboot. There's another step, and this has paid dividends a couple times for me, to go beyond just shutting it down and starting over. It really has to do with shutting it down and draining the power completely.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know how you do that is easily on a tablet or a smartwatch, et cetera.
Oh, I would have no idea how to do it on a watch, because yeah, without right. like a laptop, you got to take out the battery, disconnect the actual coin cell battery, and then hold the power button in for 15, 20 seconds on almost all models and makes. Now, that varies between manufacturer, but I wouldn't begin to even fathom how to do that on a watch. I really wouldn't. But you're right. Draining that power and just giving it 20, 30 seconds to just sit there, throw the thing back together, a lot of times they'll come right back up.
All right, Doug. Once upon a time, this is from our Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line. You'd get Windows and you'd get an installed disk. Typically, I would assume it's all download now or it's pre-installed on a computer. So if you are going over to, say, a solid-state drive, how do you go about acquiring that operating system? Is it a download? Do you need license? Do you need to have that original paperwork when you bought the machine, for instance?
I don't know if Microsoft's really following that too close. You could just go to Microsoft Download and download that ISO file, and most people will be doing a USB drive. So they want to create a bootable USB drive, and the easiest way to do that is a program called Belina, and it's free. You download it, and it's just Belina Etcher, E-T-C-H-E-R, and this thing, you just select the drive, select the file, and tell it to flash the drive, and it's done. It's that simple. The big thing that I think people might have issues with is getting into their BIOS and telling it to boot that USB drive first. And that might take a little research, but again, one YouTube video should take care of that as well. And then once you got that, then you just boot and rock and roll. Last time I was in Microsoft Download, I don't think there's too much I couldn't get with 10 or 11. They were just popping them out, and then you'd either license it afterwards or during your install, before it even begins to install, it will actually stop and say, hey, this is what you got going on. Now, if you're running Windows 10, you can do the mirror, then do your updates. I don't know what's going to happen. If you got Windows 7 and never installed 10, I think it's just going to let you do the upgrade. But do that with your new drive, because it's going to be much faster. And you just got to play around and figure out what's going to work for your hardware.
But it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the program. Please, please, please back up your data.
Can't say it enough.
Have that set aside safe somewhere, out on the cloud, or buy an external hard drive, another one. I mean, once again, when you start playing around with this stuff, that's fine, as long as you have a good copy of all your data.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's essential. Absolutely essential. You just got to be thinking about that all the time. Now, once you get your data saved, hey, all you got to do is remember what you did. Even if you got to sit down and take some short notes as I change this, and this in that same order, you can go back and undo it. And that's the big thing with computers, is they're most of the time they're quite forgiving. And I couldn't encourage the investigation into this enough. Really good experience. You'll never, ever regret doing it.
Yeah, and we certainly live in interesting times, and especially when it comes to technology, and something that we've brought up before, and I continue to hear good reports. I work with someone during the week who made the move, literally cut the cord. They had Xfinity. Xfinity and CenturyLink are the big providers. There are other providers of internet service here in the greater Twin Cities area and beyond, of course, and they do a great service. But they had T-Mobile available, the T-Mobile 5G, that is an appliance that receives a 5G cellular signal and converts that to Wi-Fi in the house. They are thrilled with it.
Yeah,
and
people
they
are
say
really happy.
$50 a month.
Yeah, this is They're going to shake up the industry with this for sure.
Yeah, I think they are already.
It's you know, when you look at the price and what you get, and if you get yourself a good, solid connection, and from my understanding, most of them are, and they set up quick, and the service and support is second to none, I would absolutely encourage this. Absolutely.
Yeah, so if it is available in your neighborhood, and I know T-Mobile, I'm not sure if Verizon or AT&T have rolled out their versions. I know they will be big competitors. Those three are the big three in cellular technology, and I know they're trying to roll out quickly. And then, of course, Starlink is available. Elon Musk continues to launch satellites and continues to provide services, depending on where you are. And that's the thing. I continue to look at the map, and it doesn't look like Starlink's readily available here in the Twin Cities area, but is available outside the metro area, particularly in northern Minnesota and other rural areas. So that could be a good option if you're trying to get internet service. Doug, one other thing I did want to bring up as well, and that is printers again. It continues to come up from time to time. People that have trouble with printers, it'll work if they want to print from their phone or they want to print from a laptop somewhere in the house, and then sometimes can't find the printer. For me personally, it's just as easy to go in, completely shut down the printer and restart it and let it train up to the Wi-Fi in the house as anything else. And that's generally what I tell people. It seems my mom and dad have a lot of trouble with, well, we can't get to the printer. And I said, just go in and shut it down, or unplug it from the wall and plug it back in and start it back up. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to fix it. I don't know if there's another fix for that, but sometimes printers are flaky when it comes to hanging on to the Wi-Fi signal in the house.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of that has to do with timing. The computers and the printer, and they all have a little tiny computer, but they're not near as fast as your routers today. And I think that timing thing has an issue. In addition to that, the internet, people don't realize this, but that data stream is carrying a lot of garbage. And for some odd reason, I think it's the speed, that garbage ends up in your printer. Well, shutting it off clears all that out, and you can start fresh. And the only big thing I think with wireless printers that people really have an issue with is they don't understand the difference between setting it up so you're configured properly through your modem rather than Wi-Fi direct. If you've got 5 computers in the house and everybody is connected to the printer Wi-Fi direct, well, they all have different setups and different settings. Last one that had it will own it. The big thing is you got to use that modem, or router if you will, you got to use your modem as the hub. If you configure it to that modem, once you get it set up, it should be rock solid stable. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, Tech Talk with Doug. Great program as always. Hey, Doug, we got to run. We're out of time. What's your phone number and email?
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin at WCCOTech.com. ADMIN at WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve. Have a good week.
Yeah, good to visit with you, Doug, as always. And we'll be back 1 week from today here on News Talk. 830 WCCO weather-wise today, not too bad. 54 degrees, winds out of the west at 12 miles an hour. Tonight, cloudy and 38. Tomorrow, cooler, cloudy and 44. Sunny and only 38 on Monday. Once again, the news and weather coming up next here on CCO.